I may feel that way. Amen. God bless you. We'll just go ahead and let the musicians go ahead and have their seats. It's good to be in the house of the Lord with you. And he's happy.
Amen.
I know Sister Anna feels happy now. She's been through the ringer again a few days, but I told her brothers we're just going to have to give the devil a black eye on that situation that she keeps having him. So, you know, God is the creator. He is the only creator. And he made our bodies to be what they're supposed to be. He certainly knows how to speak and cause our every cell of our body to come back in line to what it should be. And so we're just believing God will do that. And so it's good to be with you in the house of the Lord. Brother David E. Leon sends his greetings to the church there. I know that most of you haven't met him. One of these days, Lord willing, he'll come up and be with us and be in service, and you'll get to see who he is, a wonderful brother. But he sends his greetings to you from Mexico. I'm going to go ahead and open our Bibles. We can go to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, we'll start reading at verse 35. It says, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them, and because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he to his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send laborers into the harvest. Amen? Let's just bow our hearts to him in prayer. Lord, as we come to you this morning, we're just asking God that you would come to be in this service this morning. We believe that as each one has come to the house of God, that we've brought a portion of you here with us. And so, Lord, we know that you promised to be where we're gathered, and we believe that. We know you're here, and we're just asking God that you take this service and have your way. Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts, each one of us. God, give us that which we have need of for this hour, that we can go forth in the strength, Lord, as you had fed Elijah, Lord, and he went on the strength of it many days. We know, God, that you can do the same thing now. We just trust that you will. Asking, Lord, that you'd visit each one that's here in this congregation today, that you would have your way and that there would be liberty, Lord, here where your spirit is. We make you welcome this morning, Lord, and ask, God, that you'd come and be with us now. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. And you can be seated. I want to talk to you today about working with the Lord of the harvest. You know, the Lord Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. And, you know, when we think about Lord of the harvest, we think about Boaz and all the things that are there. But, you know, the scripture said, God will not be mocked. What a man sows, that he shall reap. And what you find from that scripture, when you pull from that, when it says God will not be mocked, he is Lord of the harvest, and he's in control of the harvest. He's in control of the whole process, as you see in this scripture there, where he says, "You need when there was the fields were wide and full and need many laborers to come." He's the one that is able to employ laborers. He's the one that's able to bring them and to process this harvest. In being the Lord of the harvest, he's over the whole thing. And so when it says that God will not be mocked, he's saying that God's in charge of this harvest. He's in charge of things. And, you know, we don't get to choose how big our harvest. You know, you've heard the phrase bumper crop and things like that. And so most of us, when we plant a garden, we want a bountiful. But, you know, many times we plant and we just don't get much off there like we do. And some years we plant and we get a lot. And so, because we're not in control of that, you know, but God, being Lord of the harvest, he is in control of those things, He's there to see to it that when a man sows something, or a woman sows something, whether good or bad, he's there to see to it as the Lord of the harvest, to make sure that he's not going to be mocked, that there will be a harvest that comes forth by what has been planted. And so he is the Lord of the harvest. And also says, I believe, that in due time we'll reap if we faint not, right? So don't let us be weary in well-doing, but in due time we will reap if we faint not. So again, there he is, Lord of the harvest, and he has promised that when we sow, we will reap. And you know, it takes a while. From the time you plant, there's a time it takes, and different plants take different amounts of time. But you know, when you plant, he's promised there will be a harvest at some point to those things which are planted, and he intends to make sure that's going to happen. And so he is the Lord of the harvest. So you kind of find out that, you know, God knows exactly what he's planted. You know, back we look in the scriptures, we see that one of the first things he did is he planted a garden in Eden, right? He planted a garden there, and so we're likened to, the earth is likened to a field, is a world, and he planted his children, his seeds there. And of course we know about the parable of tares and wheat, that there's others that come and came in other seed sown, the seed of the wicked one and so forth. But God knows what he planted. He knows exactly what he put in the earth. And, you know, just like a farmer. Now, for me, sometimes when I'll plant two or three types of peppers, and maybe you'll see this. We'll stick something in the ground besides the plants, so because we might forget what it was exactly where we put it. So we'll put a little something there to say this was bell pepper, or this was. And, of course, you know, as these plants, for me, I'm not an expert, but when these pepper plants come up, they all look the same to me, uh-huh. Right? But you can sure tell them apart at harvest time,
yeah.
Right? They all look the same, but see, God's not like that. He knows what he planted and where he planted it, see? So he's the great Lord of the harvest, and he chooses to plant seeds in a certain field at a certain time, and he does that as a great planter to draw from that at some later date. The plants and the fruits that he wants to draw from that at a certain time. So what I'm trying to get at is that in the planting, there's wisdom in the planting, and that wisdom in planting dictates when and what it's going to be at harvest time.
Yeah.
And so he does that. He's the Lord of the harvest, and he knows exactly what he planted, when he planted it. He knows the process of everything that's going to go up, that's going to be up against it. You know, when we do that, I'll plant tomatoes, and I know that there's going to be rain, there's going to be bugs, there's going to be these worms that you have to get off there. We come back from Ohio one time and pulled up in the driveway, and I just glanced at the garden, and I said, I don't remember what it was I said, but you could tell that the green hornworms was in the tomato plants, you know, right from pulling up there. And so I told Ben and Anna, I forget what I told them, but I said, I'll give you X amount of maybe a dime or I don't forget what it was, for every worm that you go out there and get. And they took a metal bowl out there, and it was what, 40-something? It was a bunch. This bowl was just, had these worms in there. And so I'm not trying to be gross. I'm just telling you that, you know, when you plant, you know that these things are coming. There's going to be wind, and there's going to be hail, and there's going to be all those things, but you still plant, and you're planting, expecting to receive a harvest time at the appropriate time, that which is your whole purpose. And God is the same way. He planted in the earth his children, and he knew what you was going to be up against, and he knew all the seasons, and he knew all the things that would come along and that would cause troubles and might try to hinder. But yet, he's the great Lord of the harvest. He knows what he's doing. And so because of this, when it comes harvest time, he knows exactly what to call for.
Yeah.
So you would think that, and it's kind of ignorant, you know, when people sow certain things and then at harvest, they're astonished that they reap the crop of what they sowed. Right? Yeah. People's like that. They sow bad things, things that are disobedient to the word, and then they're appalled at the fact that they get handed all kinds of things that's a result of that.
Right.
So it's, and you know, when you saw me go out and plant tomatoes or potatoes, and then at harvest time, I'm just distraught because I'm getting potatoes instead of tomatoes. Uh-huh. And you'd say, Brother Tony, you need a straitjacket. Because you're calling for something different than what you actually planted.
Yeah.
But that's the way people do it. That's the way we are. A lot of times in our daily life, we're supposed to order our own daily life and our own actions and our thoughts and so forth. We're supposed to bring it all subject to the Word. And every time we don't, every time we compromise the word in our life and let something slip, I heard Brother Ram say it. He said, God has to visit sin, and every sin that's ever committed, he has to visit that. That has to be dealt with.
Right?
Right? And so every time we sow something, he's the Lord of the harvest. He's promised that's going to have a harvest time.
Yeah.
See? So it's so important that we don't do things contrary, because this is what people's lives are a product of. I often think this when I see something. I'll see somebody's life that's in shambles. And I think I said something to my wife recently. I said, you know, that person wasn't born that way.
Yeah.
How'd they go from being born with a clean slate and now look at it?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what it is. Sowing one bad seed, one bad action, one compromise after another, and it builds and it builds. And in the harvest, it's always a greater reaping than what it was you sowed.
That's right.
But this works on both sides, whether it's good or bad. So, you know, if we could just sow good things, you get all kinds of good things in abundance. And sow more good things and more good things, see? This doesn't mean you're not going to have worms in your plants trying to eat them up, or you know, things like that. Sure, you've got grass and thorns and thistles and all that's going to try and come in and choke out those things. But we got to just keep planting that which is good and keep planting what we expect to get in the end.
Right.
See? So look at the end and say, what do I want at the end of my days? How is it that I want things to be down here? And you got to plant those things here now. So you'll be able to, and then when that time comes, you can walk up there with confidence and you can call for a resurrection of life. You can call for a body change. Why? Because you've been sowing the seeds of that all along.
Yeah.
Right. See? That's what the concept is. And so he knows everything we was going to be up against, and so he plants it, and therefore at harvest time he knows what to call for. Everything goes back to God. Now, you know, and I'll say that because it's true. Even Satan, if you go all the way back, eventually it all come from God. He created everything. And so one of the things that the message is brought to us, I still don't hear other people in other, you know, denominations preach things like this, but you know, because we are, God has given to us the understanding of the spoken word is the original seed. And so you know that God being eternal and filling all space and time and all the things that we could say about that, but he's a great eternal one, and in whatever realm he's in that we can't see, we can't approach, and so in him, Brother Ram comes along and tells us in him was, you know, his thoughts, right? And he says, you know, that words are thoughts that are spoken. So in the scriptures, when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and Word was with God, and was God, we talk about that, and you say, well, what about before the beginning? Because before the beginning was eternity, and it was God with his thoughts, infinite. Can't learn, can't forget, can't grow more powerful, he can't be weaker, he's just God, and he, right? So that one who filled all time, all space, all dimensions, whatever that was there, has always been there. It's hard for us to grasp that. But he was in a realm, and so he decided that he could do however he wanted to, but he decided that he's going to have a family. He's going to come forth and create a universe and be worshipped like God. And all these attributes that he had in him as God had to be unleashed. And so he chose to do that, and the way he did that was he took the wisdom of his thinking, of his thoughts, and he spoke them. Right? And so right at that moment, right as he spoke, that which went out from him is the Logos. And it is referred to as the angel of covenant. It's the pillar of fire. It's the angel that met, that came, you know, and met with Moses and so forth. And it's also referred to as the Son of God. Because, simply from this concept, that he went out from God. As a son goes out from his father, right? And Jesus said, I only do what your father tells me. And so the word went out, and it's by that word that he created everything. It's by that word that he makes himself known. Now, he's invisible, and even his word's invisible, but his word created heaven, created earth, created angels, and created physical manifestation, right? Now, you can see that. He can create something here, a squirrel. He could create a squirrel in this room. You'd see a physical manifestation of a word that had been spoken to create it, right? But that word, if you could see in the room where you could look at the word, you would see a manifestation of the thought of this great being that filled all space and time. He had that in his being, but he let it come forth in the word, and then the word created and brought a physical manifestation. Right? See, because we're a triune being, right? We have a flesh on the outside that it can, you know, who knows what it is. We have a spirit man that's here in the middle, but the real person is this soul. Right. That's the real being, is God. And you'll never change that, see? And when he sent forth his word, that word cannot manifest something different than the thought. Yeah. Right? See? So God said to himself, I'm going to do this, and before I create and do all these things, I need a body to do it through. I need some sort of an instrumentation to do it through. So he sends forth his word, and that word becomes the body, the logos, the thing that he works through, that he expresses himself through. That came forth, and then he, the Spirit, the infinite one, gets into that word and anoints it. That's why it's called the Anointed One. See? So now he gets in his own word. He wraps himself around the word around him. And now everything he does by his spoken word. Right? And then that spoken word can create this and create that and angels and so forth. Okay? So I said everything goes back to God. So as it was with him, and he spoke and began to create, and these things came forth from him and became in physical manifestation. At some point, they became perverted, some of them, right? So when it becomes perverted, it becomes a hybrid. Something's mixed with it, right? And sometimes it's not in the flesh, flesh manifestation, because that's a manifestation of word. But sometimes the perversion is in the word form, okay? And then when the word is perverted, the manifestation is perverted.
Right?
So when God came out, that word came out. And if you could talk to the word and say, you know, as a person, because Jesus talked like he as this being. And you have to see that sometimes he's speaking as though he's that infinite one, and sometimes he's speaking as though he's the word, and sometimes he's speaking like he's a man who has a father.
Yeah.
He speaks and carries out all these things. And so if you could ask him and you could say, and he did say this, he said, I only do that which the Father, I see the Father do. The only thing that the Father, when the Father works, I work. What he does, I do.
Right.
Why? Because the word can only do what the thought says.
Right.
If I say ice cream, it's got to be, that word is a manifestation in that way of what the thought of it is. And that's what the difference is between Rhema and Logos. Logos is the word with the thought. So you understand what it is he's saying. And so the words can come forth and say, I only do what the thought told me to do. I can't do anything different. All I can do. So that word is a perfect manifestation of this invisible one back here in this dimension who wanted to make himself known. And then that word, as it goes forth, it produces something which becomes a physical manifestation of the word. So getting a long ways there, but that physical manifestation that has come from the Word is a physical manifestation of the thought that was with God in the first place. Unless something comes along and perverts the Word, and then what comes forth, that's no longer a perfect image of what was in his mind. Right? If it's a perverted Word and you're preaching perverted Word, that's not a good image of that one who's invisible. Right? That one who's invisible has a perfect Word. And so when he come forth, when that being come forth in Word form and got into that, who is this guy? Well, you're looking at the guy when you're talking about those spoken word that come from God. You're talking to and you're thinking about or just talking about this one that can create. So the spoken word is the original seed. This thing that come from God, that's the original guy that created the thing in the first place. And that's the original seed. And if we ever want to get to the place where we can be a perfect manifestation of the one who's invisible, we've got to go back to the perfect word that came from him to represent him. And then once that's put in place and faith in that, it'll produce in our lives the very thing that it's supposed to be. Right. But if we have faith in a perverted word, then we have a perverted manifestation, and God's not being worshipped in that. Satan is.
Right, right.
See? Because he can only be the word that represents the one that spoke it. And if it's a different word, then it's a different being it represents. And so Satan's the one that gets worshipped if one word gets changed.
Right.
See what I'm saying? It does matter. It does matter what this prophet said and these things that comes to us from scriptures. And so it all goes back to God, but when it comes forth and you look out here and you see things that's not righteous, you see things contrary to the Word, you know, we're smart enough, surely, that we can take it back and follow it back and we can find where it went wrong and how it went wrong. Because if it's God, it's perfect all the way down here at the end. And so we still want to push the fact that when God planted something, he knows what he planted. He knows what the seed is. Right? He knows what word he's spoken concerning you.
Yeah.
So therefore, he knows what's in you as his seed. And he knows what to call for at the end of the age that'll come from that seed.
Yeah.
He's not going to call for something that he didn't put in you.
Right.
He's not going to stand here in this age and call for a people who can represent that mature bride if he didn't put that in the seed in the first place, way back in his mind. But if he had it in his mind and he spoke it, it shall be.
Yeah.
Right? And here then, when we'll come, we can't manifest anything else but it. So like I said a while ago, he could say, I only do. Right?
Yeah.
But then when the physical manifestation comes, he can say, I can only be what I am because the Word spoke me to be this way.
Yeah.
See? And so you take your plants in the garden. You plant a tomato plant. And it doesn't make a bit of difference how much storms comes upon that plant. Lightning and hail and maybe cows go tromping through there and tromp it down and rocks get tumbled over on it. And here's this poor little tomato plant and he's got a rock laying on his side and he's trying to... It doesn't matter. None of those things change what plant it is.
That's right.
None of those things change what the seed was to begin with. So it might have a rock laying over it, and it might cause it to grow a little crooked, and it might have some adversities that keeps it from being what it really ought to be or wants to be totally, but it's still a tomato plant.
Man.
See? It's still that tomato plant. So none of these things that Satan comes along and tries to do to you to change you, none of those things affect that seed that was in the mind of God that he spoke and now is in you. Nothing changes that. You are what God made you. But God knows that you go through these things. He knows that you have all kinds of troubles that comes your way and hinders you and all that. But he knew that. So he knows what he planted. He knows what they're up against. And he's not ignorant when at the end he calls from your life the very thing that he knows he placed there. And so, well, like I said, when you get to the Word... When you get back, all the way back, and say, why is this manifested? Why is it that these church people live the way they do in these modern churches? Follow it back. It goes back to the Word. Because when you have a perverted Word, then your image of what you think that invisible God is wrong. And if you have a perverted Word, the thing that gets manifested from it is wrong.
That's right.
It's different. It's not the original seed. It's not the spoken word, see? And that's what's wrong. But when you get back to this Word, and I'm saying it this way because even outside of God, in perverted Word, it produces. Right? Brother Rem said these false churches, they're bringing forth children all the time. So they produce. But what I want to show you here is, well, this thing that's being produced, where's it coming from? It's coming from the Word, whether it's true Word or if it's a perverted Word, it still produces. See? So it's important that we go back to every word so that what we have is a perfect image of God, that He's not three gods, He's one.
Right?
That we're looking at the true Word that says He's one God and the serpent had a seed and all these things. Do we look at all that? And once we see all that correctly, this is the revelation of Jesus Christ, who is the revelation of the invisible one. Mm-hmm. Right? And we're looking at that. And when we go forth believing that, it'll produce fruit in our lives. It's a perfect image of what that is. So there will be a perfect bride at the end because the Word has been restored, which is a perfect image of the one who needed to be revealed in the first place. So all that was in God, He put in the Word, Christ. And then all that's in Christ, He puts in His church. So we are to be that manifestation from the very God in the beginning. Through the avenue of the Word. So again, if you could say to the Word, how do I see God? The Word would say to you, no man can come to Him but by me, the Word. If you want to find out about this guy up here in this invisible dimension, you get to him through me. Because I'm the very expression of him.
That's right.
Right? And we're not as one, we are one.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not as one. Jesus said, the man said, when you've seen me, you have seen the Father. Why? Because the one who spoke it, wanted and desired and did, step into and say, I'm one with my own Word.
Yeah.
Otherwise, He'd be thinking one thing and saying something different, or saying one thing and doing something different. Mm-hmm. See, God's not like that. See, we are. Man is. So, when you get to this one who's the Word, you're now talking about this being who is a representation of the one who spoke it, but now you're looking at the one who can create. So what we believe, what we teach, what we speak, it produces. The power of the spoken word, the power that's in the tongue. So what we believe is the things we talk about. Right? Because if you talk about something different than what you believe, you're a hypocrite or you're insane or something. But typically what we truly believe, we talk about. And what we talk about and believe is going to eventually be a manifestation in our life. So it does matter what we believe. And if we believe the wrong thing, we'll produce the wrong thing. If we don't have the right revelation, we can't go on with God until we do get that right revelation. And so you understand how this is working. So I'm kind of lingering here on this because I want to hopefully use this as a springboard in just a moment. So it is the Word that's going to produce. That's what's going to produce things in our life. And so it does matter. We've got to focus on the Word and make sure it's right, what God has vindicated to be right, so that we can go forth and manifest right. We certainly want to do that. And so a man is only good as his word. You've heard that phrase. And that's true. You know, we are humans. And, you know, I can say, Brother Daniel, I'll meet you here tomorrow at 12 noon for whatever reason. And that could be my thought, that could be my spoken word, and that could be my intention, and I plan on manifesting that. But, you know, something can come along the way. I could have a flat or something and not be able to show up here. And you could say, well, Brother Tony's not a man of his word. Well, I am. It's just that something stopped me and kept me from doing that. Right? Sometimes our kids will let you know for sure, you know. But you promised. You said that. I know I said that. But something else has happened, and I can't do that way that we originally planned. It's because I'm not God. Right? Things change. But when we're talking about God and he says he'll meet you tomorrow here at the church at noon, there ain't nothing going to stop him. Nothing can get in his way. He's going to be here at 12 noon tomorrow. He's going to do it. See? And so a man should not, and this is really something. You know, we're called by the restoration of the word to be something different than what the rest of the world is. And in this world, they're going headlong away from everything you and I are called to be. And we'll be that way too if we don't let the word bring us back to what we're supposed to be. And so the way we should be like our Father which is in heaven. He's the Father of lights, right? So we're lights. And so he doesn't speak presumptuously. He doesn't rattle off a bunch of nonsense. He doesn't go through a bunch of drama. He doesn't. So we should speak with purpose. We shouldn't be rattling off a bunch of stuff. You hear people, I hear stuff all the time. We got all these slogans and things that people say that's a trend of the modern time. Like, my bad. And if you've said that, I'm not, but you hear, oh, my bad. To me, that's a compromise of saying, I'm sorry, I made a mistake. I shouldn't have done that. My bad. It's like, you know, that's the way I feel when people say that, because just something happened, oh, my bad, you know, like, okay, yeah, I made a mistake, what of it? You know? And then, so this, I'm not trying to be dogmatic, but there's so much drama. So you say, you know, well, what about this? Oh, we do not want to go there. Really? Why didn't you just say, you know, really, right now, I just don't want to talk about it. Oh, we did not want to go there. Drama. That's Hollywood. Everybody wants to act out and show how big and how dynamic they are. Right. Words without purpose. Yeah. We should be people who speak with purpose.
Right.
And we speak what we mean, and we mean what we say, and we're going to carry out to the best of our abilities what we're talking about.
Right?
Because if we're not like that, how can anybody depend on you? How can sinners who need to see an image of that invisible God that's supposed to come through us, how can they get a clear message from God if they don't even know what they're looking at and they see a bunch of drama and nonsense from people?
Right.
See what I'm saying? So we're no better than our word. You can be a Christian and full of Holy Ghost, but if you speak presumptuously or if you speak a bunch of drama, a bunch of nonsense, you're not being a good image of God to the people around you.
Right.
See? So we should speak it right and we should live it right. Mm-hmm. See? And be what we're supposed to be. And because, and that being the case that it is, then you can see the character of a person by their words. If they're just blabbing off, you know, you see what's there.
Right.
See? Now I know. But like I said, God is calling us back to what we should be as a manifestation of his children, which is God himself. Because remember, they wanted to stone Jesus because when he said he was the Son of God, they said, you make yourself God when you call yourself the Son of God. Because it's one and the same. They know that if God came in flesh as a son, they would know that would be God. And so for you and I to call ourselves the sons and daughters of God, we're saying we're God. Same life. No different. Same life. And they'll challenge us like they did him. But it's still the same. That if we are children of sons of God, then we are manifestation of the same God that created heaven and earth. See, so we are God, right? In its right context, right? It's okay. Remember, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who thought it not robbery to be equal with God. We got to come to that, to realize that God dwells in me, and it's perfectly fine for me to walk into a room knowing that I'm bringing the Word of the living God into that room to change the situation. We have to believe that. We have to grow in favor with God and man and revelation and come to that place where we realize that we know who we are, and these words that have been spoken, they're speaking of us. Just like He did. We have to come to that place. And so, we have to come back to this original word that's right, because if we don't, then that's, and that's where Satan has put all his attack. This is how Satan gets worshipped, by perverting the word. And he does. So now, I've said this probably already, but you see, God, when he planted himself. He put himself in the earth, right? And he knew that his own word that he planted in this earth to become his children, right? He knew, as you've probably heard this said before, that God isn't going to have a family. He's going to be a family. Because we are God when he makes us his children. We know that. When we call ourselves son of God, we're God. Because it's the same God in us. And so we know that. But God planted himself into the earth, and he knew that that word was going to be persecuted. He knew that everything in the world that Satan could throw at that to try and keep it from coming to fruition at the end, at harvest time, he knew that, but he planted it anyway. And he knew what age that you were going to come up in. Back when he planted, he knew that we were going to be here in the age of Laodicea. He knew that Luther would be in his day and Wesley would be in his day. He knew that. He knew that I'd be born 6-7 days after Brother Branham was taken off the scene. He knew that. He did. And so he purposed that. He purposed it and planted it, knowing it would be thus. And he knew what you would be up against. He, you young people, he knows what you deal with in school. He knows what you deal with, how the things that work upon you. He understands all that. You know, your friends may not, your parents may not even seem like they understand sometimes. But you know God does. Talk to him. Talk to him and then listen. Because he'll help you. He'll help you because he knows what he put in you. He knows what you are. And he knows what to call for out of your life. So he knows all of us that way. He knew we would be in this age, and he knew what to call for in this age, and purposed in his heart when he planted us, I want thus and thus to manifest in the days of Laodicea, and I'm planning it thus, and now he's over here at the end, and the Holy Spirit through his word is calling from us to manifest the very thing that he put there.
Yeah.
Okay? Calling for it at harvest time in an hour where everything in the world other than the word is being manifested. Because you know, harvest time, there's all kinds of things out there that comes forth. Right? So if he purposed to have tomato plants at a certain time, and so he plants them and they're coming forth, in that hour, there's all kinds of weeds and there's grass and there's thorns and there's thistles and all these things are shooting forth and living off the same blessings that he pours out upon his tomato plants. They live off of it too, right? He pours out his blessings and on the rain on the just and the unjust. But while all that's going on, and he's calling for that tomato plant, now he's not going to call from the thorns and the thistles. He knows what they are, and he knows where they're headed. But to you, to his plant that he has placed all along, he knows what you're to be producing, and he calls for that. And the scripture said some 30, some 60, some 100-fold. Right? Everybody's got a different level of their own ministry and expression of what he is. But he calls for that. And I want to emphasize this, that the very hour that he's calling for you to produce the fruit of this hour, there's so many other things being manifested. And if he could go over here and find tomato plants, or he could go to a thorn, or he could go to a thistle and find a tomato plant, or he could go over here and find it, he can't. He's calling for that life from you because it's not anywhere else. See what I'm saying? So, you know, the scriptures talk about being that the thorns and thistles are the things that grow up and choke the word. Right? Satan's desire, if he can't change what's down inside you, which he can't because he's not a creator, so then he tries to choke it out. He tries to smother over everything that God has placed in you with all kinds of worldlyism and all kinds of riches and the cares of this life and all those things. That's what he wants to smother over because he just can't. In his war plan, you know, when he tells his demons, we can't afford to let them manifest the word that they are. So let's smother them over with all kinds of distractions and all kinds of this and all kinds of that to take their time and keep them all bound down in worldly things. And even if it's not great sinful things, we'll make it sinful because it occupies all their time. And they'll never manifest anything. And you know that's not what God wants. God wants you to manifest what you are. And so he's calling for us in an hour where these things are like this. Now, I've said all this from a standpoint of him being, but I want to talk now for a moment just from the standpoint of the seed itself. So, and I mentioned just a little while ago, when you plant a tomato plant, the tomato plant, you're like, what are you doing? Why are you... You're moving in the direction of manifesting tomatoes. What's the matter with you? Well, that's what I am. I can't be anything different. Don't you know that the government has said you've got to be a potato? Potatoes are hid. Nobody gets to see. Nobody, you know, it's just hidden and then, you know, it's no... You want to be a tomato plant. You want to be bright red, representing the blood of Jesus Christ. You want to be out here where everybody can see it, and you want to be above the ground, and the government has said, you can't do that. You've got to be a potato. We're okay with that, but you can't be a tomato. And you're like, I'm sorry. All I can push out is tomatoes. Why? Because that's who you are. And if you try to be anything different, well, you'd be a hypocrite. But if you tried to be anything different, you won't be successful. And you'll be miserable. And you'd be better off to be up here and be persecuted for being tomato than trying to act like a potato. You follow me? You'd be better off just to go ahead and be what God's made you. Even if that means they run over you with a bulldozer, you'd have peace with God. And try to be covered down with all these things, and we now remember what I said. This is a form of planting and reaping, and you plant and spend hundreds of hours doing things that's not productive, and then wonder why you don't have the peace with God that you know you should have as a Christian. It's not rocket science. See, so we gotta get back to that original word. So that seed has within it. The phrase we use, deep calling to the deep. And so at harvest time, I try to illustrate this in a way where we can understand at harvest time and it's coming time and it's just about the time that God is going to call for that fruit. And right about the same time he's ready to call, the seed laying there, and it probably happens a little bit earlier, but just to get the idea, the seed's laying there and it's just laying there, nothing happening for a while, and then all of a sudden the rain and the sun and something starts happening inside. You might go years, you know, I went for years not serving God, had no desire to serve God, you know, but then one day something started happening down inside. I wasn't in church, I wasn't listening to some preacher, but something began to move down inside me. And so that seed will be laying there, and it's just sitting there, and all of a sudden something begins to move, and the sun begins to shine, and the water, the rain, and so forth. And all of a sudden there's a transformation taking place, and this seed's not doing it from intellect. It's just doing it because down inside the fiber of its being, of its DNA, it is now acting out and becoming what it's supposed to be. Yeah. And no matter threats, no matter whatever, is going to change that. See, that's what That's what is so strange to me. The world teaches that you can be something totally outside, not having nothing to do with God, and God will make you his son. And there's not a species in this world anywhere that is one thing and becomes something else that the DNA didn't say it was. So it's not so. We are, and because we are sons, God sends forth the Spirit of his Son. Right? The world teaches that he'll give you his Spirit and that makes you a son. But that's not what the Bible says. The Bible says because you are a son, he sends forth the Spirit. So that life of God comes to the seed that he knew was there all along. That seed begins to produce and put forth, and it begins to make manifestations moving in that direction of that fruit that is to come. And nothing can change that. And so this seed down inside, it's got a deep calling. And it just so happens that as it begins to have that something pulling in its heart, it's the same thing that God's calling for. A deep calling to the deep. So you young people, think about it. Well, all of you. What is it that's down inside your heart that pulls? When you get quiet and get everything away and get your multimedia and everything away and you get quiet in a prayerful state, what is it that you really desire to be?
Yeah.
Right? Your desire to be like God. I want to be good. I want to be right with God. I want to be in right standing with him. I don't want him to send me to a devil's hell. It's not for me. It's for the devil's, right? I want to be right with God. I want to see God manifested. I want to see him glorified. I want to see him heal the sick and raise the dead. Not that glory would come to me. I want to see him do it. Right? And if I can pray for the sick and raise the dead, fine. But I'm not doing it because I want glory in it. Because then my heart's not right. But really, I want to see God manifested, whether it's me or someone else, or even if nobody prays. He just comes and somehow does it. That's fine. I just want to see the life of God made plain in this generation. That's all I want. Whether through me, through you, through this church, or through whatever, I just want to see God. I want to be like him. I want to be able to handle situations like he handled them. I always want to do and say the right thing like he did, right? Brother Branham had that testimony. I want to be like that. What is that? Do you want to be like that? What is that? That's that deep down inside of you that's longing to be what God made you, and it's longing to be exactly like the one that planted you, right? That's all it is. There's nothing wrong with that. But then again, when you let everything else begin to pile up on you, and all the modern day trends and all the pressures of your friends and your neighbors and modern society, all that gets upon you and you get rocks beating you down to try and make you be something different, or things trying to hold you back, mentalities trying to tell you you got to be something different and all that. And a lot of times we associate and think that's who we are. But push those things to the side and get alone with God. And you'll see what down inside you wants to be like him. Like the great, that eagle that wants to be like the mama and papa eagle. All right? Brother Ram talked about that eagle, some of them timed with 14-foot wingspan, and that little bitty eaglet inside the nest, and you come up there with them big wings, and, you know, well, that eaglet down inside, it's got a desire to be out there flying. It has a desire to have the abilities of mom and dad does, and you could just see how impressive that would be. And you know, I didn't grow up around my dad, but I remember hearing Brother Bram talk about his dad and his muscles, and he thought, man, he's so powerful, so strong. You know, that's normal, right? So now naturally a son would want to be like his dad, right? Be strong and be, you know, and at some point when they become teenagers, they get a different idea. They want to be something different or whatever. But then again, later on, they come back around and they realize that, hey, dad wasn't so bad. Mom's not so bad. Right? It happens. Mm-hmm. It does. Especially along about the time that they start having kids and they go, what happened? What? I thought I was in control. What's, mom, dad, tell me. What can I do here? It's kind of the way it happens sometimes, you know? Mm-hmm. So I'm not trying to be funny, even though I am. It's true. See? But that prodigal son went out, thought he didn't want nothing to do with mom and daddy no more, and he went off out there until he finally came to his right mind. He came to himself, and then he realized, you know what? I need to be back in the circle of the seed and the gene of what I am in the family that I belong to. Not out here and all this other stuff, but I need to be right in the midst of the very thing that God births me to be. That's the only place that I can be successful. And success is not millions and money and fancy this and fancy it. Success is having peace with God, walking with Him day in and day out. That's what success is. So you got this deep calling. You have a desire. You want to be like God. So now God is calling for this fruit here at the end time. I remember hearing, I was listening to it, I guess it was yesterday, in the last few days. I've been blessed this week to listen to many sermons. Because I was doing some work at work, fabricating, doing some welding and some cutting in our fabric, and so I can put earphones in, and I just got to listen to one sermon after another after another. And of course, I do that at home on weekends when I'm working. I'll listen to sermons quite often, too, most of the time, but Brother Brown was telling about, and he gave examples, and I don't know, I think this one is Spiritual Food in Due Season, I believe is where it is, but somewhere right in there. And he was talking about some cases. He said there was a boy. The men, brothers, had gotten and got together, and they were working, and this boy had gotten electrocuted. Died. Because they got some wiring wrong. They did some wiring or did something other, and this boy got electrocuted. And his belly pooched out and his jaw locked, and you know. And Brother Graham said those brothers were there, and they're like, you know, here's a moment where this tragedy has struck. And I think maybe they might have wanted to see if they could get in touch with Brother Graham, couldn't, or whatever it might have been. But to get down to what he was trying to say, they said, but these men, they went to God. And God raised that child up. And Brother Graham was telling that story. And the man and his son was actually in service. And they brought Brother Graham's attention to the fact. And he had the boy stand up. It was a 12-year-old boy stood up. And there he was, alive, presented alive, because these brothers had prayed for this one who had died. He tells a story at the same time about a woman. I think her spine had been ruptured or bursted or whatever it was. And the doctor says she'll never walk again. Well, they, you know, instead of... And so Brother Branham was, when he's pointing this, God raised this woman up, and now she was fine, you know. And so he was pointing, he said, now, when that happened, when that boy was electrocuted, he said, now, if those brethren would said, well, it just happened. That's just the way it is. He said, if that woman, when her spine bursted or whatever it was that happened to her spine, he said, what if her and her husband said, well, honey, we'll just console ourselves with that. That's just the way it happens, and we'll just go on and make the best we can. What would you have done? But Brother Ram said, they didn't do that. He said, right quick, they went to God. Right quick, they went to God. Right? He talked about a woman who, he said she was actually a Baptist woman, but I think she went to the church. She passed away, and she was down at the undertaker's. And before they embalmed her, brothers from the church there at the tabernacle in Jeffersonville went down and prayed for her, and she was resurrected. Yes. She was in the morgue. Did you know that's on tape? I see some of you shaking your head. Wasn't Brother Branham that did it?
Right.
He wasn't the one that prayed for the little boy. He wasn't necessarily, I don't remember about the woman, maybe he was involved. I don't, but this situation, it wasn't him. He didn't see a vision about it. But God, because of his body, his people. Now, here's what I'm getting at. If those brothers, well, this is just what happened. That's what Satan wants to pile on top of that seed and tell you, you can't manifest fruit because this happened or that happened. You can't be this child of God. You cannot manifest in this day the life of God because.
Right.
And they said, no, we're not doing that. And they went to God quickly, went to God in prayer, and God honored the very message, the very words that we believe. He honored that, and that's what I'm saying is that when things come your way and stuff rises up, sicknesses and situations like that, Satan wants you to say, well, that's just the way it is. I can't really do nothing about it. And I'm telling you that if you'll take what that thought was that went into word that became you and you were to manifest, what you're to manifest is not, well, that's just the way it comes. What you're to manifest is God.
Right.
To say, you know what? I don't have any power, but I do have authority. Mm-hmm. Do you know Brother Brim said that?
Right.
You don't have power, but you do have authority. He said, the policeman standing out there, a little bitty guy, very hat, you know, and he stands out there and them cars with 300 horsepower engines, and he says, he's a little bitty guy, and he said he couldn't even stop a bicycle if he tried to. But he can throw up that hand and blow that whistle and the brakes start squeaking.
Yeah.
Because he's got authority. You don't have power, but you have authority. And them brothers that prayed for that boy that had been electrocuted had authority. Not power, they had authority. And that man and that woman, her back, they had authority to go to God, to look to him and say, it's your word. I'm here in this age. Satan wants me to not manifest the fruit of God. He wants to put all this unbelief and all these things that hinder it. But I'm pushing all that back to the side, and I'm producing in this hour what you want me to produce. I'm going to God with this. Quickly, Brother Ram said, quickly they went to God.
Yeah.
And these things were manifested. Heard a testimony last night. Some of you may have heard this already, Brother Cliff Farmer was telling about a few months ago when his dad was preaching, and a man dropped dead in their service. And they said he was dead. He gave a little bit of examples. Understand, he was dead. They had paramedics in the service, went to see he's dead. You know, everybody's all stirred up. But the pastor of the church went back, and different ones, I guess, went back. Said, don't worry. They went back, and they prayed for the man. And God raised him up. Raised him up, and he raised up, and he said, what's going on? He didn't know.
Yeah.
What's happening? What's going on? That happened just recently.
Right.
I was witness when I was a little boy. I saw a dead man raised myself. In Brother Perryman's church, he had a storefront building down in Rudy, Arkansas, right down there. And it was down close to where the fire station is now. If you go down there, just north there was a long building that went all the way down and stopped just short of the post office, which was next to the store.
Yeah.
Post office is now somewhere else. But he was in that far end, and it was a long building, and he was there for many years. That's when I first met him. And they had a man who was preaching one night, his brother Stewart. He dropped dead in that service. And I think it was about 15 minutes transpired him laying up there on the platform. And here's what Brother Perryman said. He said, I believe in divine healing. How can I call an ambulance? How can I?
Yeah.
And I remember as a child watching the elders of the church, they got up there and they prayed. And it seemed to me like it was about 15 minutes. I really don't know. But as a child, the brother, sister, that man come up off that floor like that. Mm-hmm. I mean, a lifeless body, and up he came. Like something jolted him, okay? Brother Stewart. So, my point is, we don't have authority or power, but we have authority, right? And God wants us to start manifesting what he's calling for. He's not calling for what the thorns produce. He's not calling, they're going to produce it, but that's not what he's calling for. That's not what's going to be a blessing to his kingdom. That's not what he planted in the first place for you to come down here and manifest thorns and thistles. He planted you to come down here and manifest the life of God, which in times of great circumstances quickly goes to his promise instead of saying, well, that's just the way it is. Just the way it is. Incidentally, brothers, my sister, who had to be hospitalized and given blood because she was passing blood, when they went in to find out what was wrong, all they found was a little infection. And a little bit of medicine to take care of it. What sounded like would be cancer or something like that. And maybe it was. But prayer was made.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
Remember when Peter was in prison? The prayer was made? Talk about a chuckle. So God sets him free. He goes and knocks on the door. And when the girl comes to the door, she didn't believe it. I mean, she did. She rejoiced. And she went and she told the others, and they didn't believe it. They said, oh, his angel. It's his spirit. Well, what have you been praying for? You're praying for God to set Peter free, and now here he is, and now you won't even believe it? He's at the front door?
Yeah.
See what I'm saying? God didn't plan it and going like, well, I'm going to my garden, I hope that I can see what I wanted. That's not it.
Right.
And when you pray, when you quickly go to God, go to him for exactly what you know he said we can have in this day. That's your authority. Go believing. Go expecting him to change these situations. Because when the rapture's done, that's it. This side of rapture, you are the manifestation. Brother Brown's not coming back to manifest anything to the Gentiles in grace. You are it. You are that message coming forth now. And what he preached is now in you. Elijah's anointing is now in Elisha.
Yeah.
And you are that manifestation. The same as he was through all ages. So God's calling for that now. And all you can do is drink in and push out. Brother Branham said, drink in and push out. Drink in the life of God. Drink in that word. Bring in that word. And push out what you are. And push out what you are. Manifest him. If you feel like, oh, I don't have quite to drink in some more. Push out. Drink in some more. Push out. You say, I have a big rock land on me. I'm lopsided. Drink in so much that you push the rock over if you have to. I've seen things like that. How many have seen a tree that pushed the concrete up down at my mother-in-law's old house? A tree is crazy. The tree grow up. And so don't tell me, right? We can grow and we can, over time, push things out of the way. God can set you free. He will. He's promised. But what do you got to do? You got to keep drinking in and
right.
Keep pushing. Keep drinking and keep trying to be what God made you to be. And we keep saying an invincible army. And an invincible army means they ain't been conquered. And you might fall, but if you get back up, you're not been conquered. You might fall again, you get back up, you've not been conquered. So as long as you still get back up, no matter how many times you fall, as long as you get back up, keep fighting, keep drinking in and pushing out. As long as you keep doing that, you're invincible. Right? You're invincible. And every one of you have had failures, and you fell, and you've got back up, and you're fighting today.
Right.
For that same gospel, you're invincible.
Yeah.
As long as you have that pattern, that life in you, you're invincible. So we want to use the authority that God has given us. I'm going to read some quotes here, and this is where Brother Ben talks about the Lord of the Harvest, and the title is Working with the Lord of the Harvest. Because he expects us to work with his program. And when he's calling for something, he wants us to call for it. When he has a certain program, he wants us to ask for it because he's the Lord of the harvest. So we read it. Brother Brown says, one time standing looking upon the harvest, Jesus said, the harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest to send laborers into his harvest. And Brother Brown says, and he was the Lord of the harvest. So he's sitting there to his disciples as Lord of the harvest, and he's saying, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers. And he was the very one that he was telling them to pray to.
Yeah.
Okay? See? He said, he was the Lord of the harvest, see? And you have not because you ask not, and you ask not because you believe not. Ask abundant that your joys might be full. See, he's depending on you asking and believing that you receive what you ask for. Right?
Yep.
He just said it in a paragraph there, what I've spent the whole time telling you.
Yep.
To believe what it is you ask for. What are you doing when you do this? When you get in sync with God, doing the things that that he has in place and the hour that he's calling for, and we're asking for the same thing he's asking for. We're asking him to do the very thing that he wants to call for that he planted in the first place. Right? That's what he's saying. He wants us to get in sync, because really what he's trying to do has to be manifested through you. It can't come any other way. Can't come any other way. And that sermon, by the way, was identified Christ of all ages, 1964. Here's Go Wake Jesus. When Jesus stood looking upon the harvest, he said, "The harvest is ripe, the laborers are few. Pray the Lord of the harvest." And he was the Lord of the harvest. In other words, ask me to do what I know is right to do. Right? Ask the Lord to do what he knows is right and you know is right. Ask him to do it. Because in doing that, you're manifesting the very thing that he is wanting done in this hour as Lord of the harvest. And the sign of this time, Brother Bram says, now we know that you, he's talking to God, he says, we know that you only speak through human lips. You made man your agency. And one day you were standing and you said, look upon the harvest and said, it's ripe, and said, pray the Lord of the harvest that he'll send laborers in the harvest. And you were the Lord of the harvest. But you see, but you so connected your program, you and man together, you do nothing apart from that. I hope I didn't butcher that. It's kind of hard to read sometimes. But he says, here you are, Lord, you were the Lord of harvest, and you was telling your disciples to call upon. And he said, here's what it is, God. You have wrapped yourself so much up with your people that you can't do anything except through them. Right? Through their belief. So here we are at end time to really manifest God. And he's not asking us, Lord, just, well, it's just how it is. This thing that's come, it just has to be. No, no. You ask what his desire is. You ask according to faith, believing. You manifest what God wants to manifest in this hour, because he promised to do those things. Amen?
Amen.
I believe it.
Amen.
And so that's what he wants us to do. He uses man. He uses man to speak his word. And Satan wants to make you think you can't do that. You have to realize that Satan, all through the ages, whatever God was that God wanted to do, whatever he wanted to say and do through the people, that's what Satan would try to hinder and keep them from being able to do. Whatever it is. And if God is at this end time telling you, you can do this. You can do this. God's working through you in the midst. Instrumentality of you, and he can't go any further. Satan wants to come along and say, no, it's not you. There's some other route God will do this, and it won't be you.
Uh-huh.
Can't be you. You're unworthy, you're whatever, you know, whatever it might be. He wants you to think that it's not you. It can't be you. But that's not true.
Right.
So, God in simplicity, Brother Bram says, and now notice Moses in the day that God was going to deliver the children of Israel according to his word. He did what he what did he do? He chose a simple family. We have no record of them. See, just a son of Levi is all we know. And his wife, just ordinary, probably mud daubers, as the world would think, out there making brick for the enemy. He's just an ordinary slave in Israel, but God chose that family to bring forth the deliverer, just an ordinary Jewish family. He never went and got a royalty or celebrity or something, or even got a priest. He took a common ordinary family, see? Simplicity. Do you follow me so far? Satan wants to tell you, not you. He wants to give you some excuse why you're not to be that person. You can't manifest these things.
Right.
It's not for you. You're out of the will of God if you do it. He wants you to think that. Right? Whether it's denominational doctrine. And by the way, it'd be so deceiving and deceive the elect if possible. And nobody out there in denominations got anything that's going to be deceptive. That's why I say the Antichrist's most powerful ride of deception will be under a message banner. Because
yeah, right.
That nothing else will trick us.
Right.
Right? And he's not going to anyway to the elect because they can't be deceived, right? We know that. So he just picked ordinary people. He doesn't have to pick a celebrity. Doesn't have to pick somebody that the world thinks is going to be it, or even the church system thinks is going to be it. Even inside the message, somebody the message people thinks it ought to be in their mentality. Right? He doesn't have to pick anybody like that. He'll pick who he wants. And he's picked that elect bride who's going to manifest and believe everything that he has given him for her to be. So, simplicity. He's pointing that out. Simplicity. See, in any movement that ever happened, look at Luther. Genuine move of God, but then look what happened to it afterwards.
Right.
Wesley, a genuine move of God, then look what happened. Pentecost, genuine move of God, then look what happened.
Yeah.
Message. What's next? Genuine move of God, but what happens? You can rest assured that somebody is going to fulfill that pattern that was all along to take that and try to make something out of this message that it's not. And in every case, all the way through, when Satan got involved, his whole purpose of getting involved and taking it off in some direction was to take the power from the people, Nicolaitan, conquer the laity.
Right.
That was his whole purpose. So even in this message today, the movement of people and spirits and doctrines and things to take away that you're that bride, you're the one that's going to sit on that throne with him, to try and convince you that it's not for you, you can't do it, you've got to wait for Brother Branham to come back because he's got to tell you something else, then you can do it. See what's the fault with these doctrines and things like that? To take that power or that authority, that level of belief from you and make you wait for something else instead of believing what God's doing now. You can say, yeah, he did do it in the days of Brother Branham, and yeah, he's going to do it sometime later, and ignoring what he's doing now.
Right.
What if they said, well, that's just the way it is. One of these days, we heard Cliff say this last night, well, wish we were down there where the spoken word was going to be, the third pulse manifested or whatever. Well, we could pray for this man and raise him up or whatever it was he said.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, put it off to some. And Brother Ben said, no, now we're that people.
Right.
But Satan wants to get involved and have a movement that becomes fanatic or denominational minded or whatever it is. But the message, the real message, cannot be denominated because it's God. But there is movements that are denominated mindset, and they want to bind the people to such a place where they put it all on one man.
Yeah.
All on this preacher, all on this movement, all on this message, all in these men that are in this circle.
Yeah.
Haven't we seen it?
Right.
This is this is the very thing that we as the Bride of Christ to discern the two spirits that are in the framework of the church. And by God's Spirit, withstand that spirit that is trying to take and make us powerless and formal. Right? That's what we're here for. That's our final victory before body change, to me, is overcoming that spirit of Antichrist, riding through message banners,
yeah,
under message banners. We just have to be honest about these things.
Man.
So it doesn't have to come every movement to say, oh, praise God, we got a movement, and if God's going to do anything next, it's going to come this way. Wrong. Well, you know, Luther's like, no, if anything else comes, it'll be through us. No, it came through Wesley. Wesley said, oh, if anything else comes, it'll be through us. No, it came through Pentecost. Pentecost says, oh, if anything happens, it'll come through us. No, it came through a message. In the message, if God's going to do anything else, it'll be thus and thus. No, it won't. It'll be what God said. And you rest assured that there's movements in the land to try and make you derail from what it really going to be.
Right.
And I'm persuaded that it has to get you off the word to derail you.
Right.
Like we heard that song last night. Mm-hmm. It's going to take a stronger wind than this, or something like that, to knock me off because I'm on the solid word.
Right.
And that's true. But that's the way it works. He's got to take and pervert the word and give you a wrong image so you manifest the wrong thing. But as long as it's that original word, it'll be right. And one word's all it takes. And in that, Satan has to produce something that takes away the authority from you and makes you believe it's not for you. It's not going to be. There's some other pattern that's got to come. When the very purpose that Jesus Christ died on Calvary was that he, the life of God, could come and live in you and 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 all the rest of you, each one of you, a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that he could manifest in you in your domain. And so Brother Branham says it's simplicity. Notice what he done then. He brought forth a child, a simple human being. He could have ordained the Son, if he wanted to deliver them. He could have ordained the wind to deliver them. He could have ordained an angel to deliver them. Oh, hallelujah. God can do whatever he wants to. Well, how do you know then, Brother Branham? God won't leave his program. He's telling us something here. God could have chose all kinds of things. If he wanted to choose an angel to deliver the children of Israel, he didn't. He chose Moses. Chose a little common family, nobodies, and that's how he brought it. He can do whatever he wants. And he says, well, how are you going to know? He said, you're going to know because God doesn't change. God doesn't change. He's going to do it the same way. It's so funny that he can sit right there and give Satan that left hook over and over and over, and Satan never learns because he's always getting it. Because God won't leave his program. And that's the reason we know that this day it's got to be simple. It doesn't have to be some great big something, big notoriety something within the message, some great well-known something in the message. Doesn't have to be none of that.
Right.
God says it'll be simple.
That's right.
Be simple. Stay humble. Right? That's what he said. Stay simple. Stay humble. It's got to be simple. Now, he always works in simplicity, but God in the beginning, that could have made the Son preach the gospel, or the winds preach the gospel, or angels preach the gospel, he ordained men for that purpose, and he never changes it. He never ordained denominations. He never ordained groups of men. He ordained men to preach the gospel.
Right?
Right? You know, he said not even an angel. Right? Because we know a messenger is an angel, but he's talking about like an angelic being, angel, coming with wings on his back. He didn't tell him, right? Why would an angel go down and preach to the eunuch? Right? When Philip had to go do it. Right? Well, first of all, life is in the body. So the angel's not part of the body. But life's in the body. And so life has to come through the reproduction of the body. Everybody follow me? That's why it had to come through men who preach the gospel. Right? Comes through men. Doesn't come through angelic beings. So he said he never ordained groups of men. He ordained men to preach the gospel. Not machinery. Not mechanical devices. Or any angelic being. It was man. Amen? God didn't choose machinery, mechanical devices to preach the gospel. You don't send tapes. You don't send recorders. I know we sent MP3 players for years over there, but we weren't sending them over there that people who knew nothing could listen to something like that and get somewhere. We sent it to believers so that they use it as a tool to learn and share or whatever. We weren't trying to bypass the apostolic form that God requires man to go.
Right.
And so he requires man to go and preach the gospel.
Right.
And you don't send mechanical devices to do it. Because mechanical devices don't carry the Spirit of God in their heart and have a touch for the feeling of the infirmity of the people and can enter into a burden with the people.
Yeah.
Right?
That's
why you have fivefold ministry. And God chose those fivefold ministry to pack the truth, to pack the gospel. And this message is the same gospel that Jesus preached, that the apostles preached, that Paul preached, all down through the ages. We're just a little bit further in what's being revealed, but it's the same message Moses had.
Right?
So we go, and God says, I require that man go and preach this gospel. That's why, as hard as it is to travel in foreign countries, and Brother Daniel knows, hard on the body and the risk and everything, that's why you got to do it anyway. Because God never told us to take the easy route. Right? He never told us to take an easy route. And it'd be easy just to have somebody stream in. Just to have somebody. This is why every person needs to belong to an assembly. Right? Belong to their church. Amen. So, it takes the apostolic form of a gift of God in a man that God raises up in that man, and the church sanctions it, and elders recognize it or whatever, and they send it forth. It takes that if you want the gospel to be propagated. What? A movement comes along and says, no, don't you go. Don't you be a beating heart with God in you that where you're the one that shares this. You send somebody else in your stead, or you have to have brother so-and-so do it. When Brother Graham said, each one of you can pray for the sick just as much as any man of God can.
Yeah.
Right? So we got to get it back to the place where we know and realize that God is in his church. If you listen to Spiritual Food in Due Season, Brother Graham at one point he says, I spoke pretty plain to you this morning. And I'm trying to show you the authority that's in the church. That you can pray for a dead one who's been electrocuted, and God will raise him up.
Right.
Right? So you go from this service today, and you arm yourselves with that. Because I told Brother Daniel, I said, I've been really impressed lately, especially in the last couple of weeks, that we go forth and begin to truly manifest these things and quit hiding it under a bushel, right? You know, I told him I didn't say that part, but, you know, quit and go forth and be what we're supposed to be. And he said, you know, same thing. I feel really impressed to do that. And so whenever something rises up, don't take the mentality of the world, the mentality of the workplace, and the things that Satan puts upon you or whatever, or the mentality of the world. Don't take that and say, well, that's just the way it is. When it's something that God has promised, take that to him quickly.
Yeah.
And believe he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And that God's going to manifest through you what he said he would be. And you know what? If the rest of the world thinks it's got to come through some priest or some hierarchy and it only come through this guy or that guy, let them believe that. But you go right on and manifest God anyway.
Amen.
And when that time comes for a rapture that morning, you'll be ready.
That's right.
Amen? I believe that. Look to musicians. Go ahead and come up there. Amen. I love the Lord. I love his message. I'm just like the rest of you, you know. I desire to see God manifested in greater ways, and Lord, just get me out of the way. And then you find yourself opposing yourself so much, right? Because that's the hour we live in. But God knew what you was going to be up against. Amen?
Amen.
We just want to pray as we get ready to worship for a minute or two. Amen. Lord, as we come to you now at the end of service, we're just asking God that these things that we've shared this morning, Lord, believing that they come from you, Lord, just expressing what's on my heart. And Lord, I've got my hand raised too, saying, Lord, I want this to be the manifestation in my life. I want to be able to fulfill your desires in this day in my life, to be part of that bride, to be able to manifest these truths. And Lord, that we wouldn't just take things sitting down, as it were, that when they come along, Satan just wants to do whatever. But Lord, that we truly turn to you quickly, as the prophet said, that we realize that as we feast on this food, this spiritual food that you've given us, while there's a famine in the land, and God, you are keeping your prophet Elijah and keeping us under that anointing, God, the world's starving to death, but you've got a people that have been sustained, Lord. And we go many days in the journey of the things that you have given. We're asking, God, that you would do that. Help us, Lord, to fully manifest, Lord, on the strength of the word that you put in our lives. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's all stand and worship the Lord just for a moment. Amen.
Let your spirit fall on me. Fall just like the rain. Saturate my thirsty soul. Come and fall afresh on me. Heal my heart again.
Feels good.
Amen.
Just for me, feels good. Just the word washes you. You know, even as a minister, we pour out and it just makes you feel so clean, washed by the water of the word. And I trust that it makes you feel the same way. You know, Satan's the prince of the power of the air, but we trust that the Holy Spirit gives to you the thought that you need from the things that you minister. You know, science says it takes about 16 times or so for you to receive something, hear something before you receive it all. But you know what? That's what they say. But you know, when the Holy Spirit's involved, He will send to you exactly what He wants you to hear out of a sermon. You might hear something different than you know, out of the same sermon. But we trust, because it's the dynamics of the Lord Jesus Christ that we're all here about. He's the one that works it all. We give Him all honor and credit for all that. We're just happy to be in His presence and for Him to use us and for us to receive from Him in whatever way He gives it, both ministering and congregation. Amen. So we love you. Just want you to continue to pray. We should get a new roof this week, and then we'll have a couple more things we need to do before winter sets in. And then maybe springtime we'll go at it again. So you be in prayer, and ask also that you continue to be in prayer for a trip for Brother Daniel and I in December for brothers there in Mexico, a couple of churches, and they got about 6 services lined out that they'd like for us to be in. So just ask that you pray. And, you know, we want the will of the Lord in it, always in everything. Amen? And so, you know, God uses us to reach out and do different things. He knows we don't question what He, you know, He just does it. He makes associations, gives us opportunities and channels, and we certainly want to do what we can for Him. Amen? Trust that you feel good. If you need prayer, if you have something you want to come up for prayer for, we'd be happy to pray for you. Amen? As we sing this again, amen, whatever Brother Tim has, and then you'll be dismissed. Thank you.